Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. You know, I pray for you guys a lot. I pray for you guys. William, I've been praying for you, buddy, for many of you, and daily. And so I kind of take my lead from Paul. And asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Lord, I thank you that you are right here, that you call us out of darkness, Lord, that you guide us out of darkness, that you redeem us and rescue us out of darkness, Lord, and that you give us a place to go. And I celebrate that so many of us sit in here dwelling in your reign, Lord, dwelling in your kingdom, dwelling in a new opportunity and life in which we can have hope and an inheritance. It'll never spoil or perish or fade. Give your praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. We are talking about a picture today. Paul gives us a picture of Christ, and we want to get that picture. And sometimes maybe you're like me, there's some pictures rolling around that you don't want to get. Amen? My wonderful daughter's in town. She's supposed to be here today. I'm assuming she's not at home asleep, but that she is actually with Sam. But we're not going to talk about Sam. But she was coming home on Friday night, and we were going to go to a movie. You know, going to a movie with your kid, amen? Just like old days, except she got home, driving down from Orange County, and I was too tired. So we decided to go get ice cream. And went to the ice cream shop, and she drove. And we actually went to Yogurt Mill. And we got to Yogurt Mill, and she paid. And then we got home, and she kind of goes, Dad, what's up with the beard? It's getting kind of Santa-ish. You know, there's some pictures that come by, and you go, no, no. I don't want any of that. And Paul is painting a picture of Christ. We're in this series, the fullness of life, finding fullness in God, finding our fullness in Christ. And Paul is writing this letter to the church in Colossae, and he's trying to paint an accurate picture of Christ. And realistically, if you look around San Diego, if you look around University Boulevard or Avenue?
Avenue.
There's a lot of people don't want nothing to do with that picture. Amen? Because you get an accurate picture of Christ. He's big. And I'm small. We really can struggle with that. They were struggling with that in Colossae, and there were some lies. There was some heresy that was rolling through the church. And what that heresy would do, it would make Jesus a little bit smaller. And when Jesus gets smaller, that means I can get bigger. Amen? They were talking about, maybe you heard that, all roads lead to heaven, you know? The enemy, realistically, he recycles his lies and he puts new names on them. And what was rolling through Colossae at the time was powers and principalities and spirits and angels and all this kind of stuff that would get you to heaven. You know, maybe you're familiar with saints in the Catholic Church, and if you pick the right saint and you do the right thing and you pray the right prayer, you can work things out, right? You kind of got to work that combo, and as you're working that combo, a lot of that responsibility starts falling on you. Then you go, "Woo! I picked the right this, and I picked the right that, and I did the right thing, and I got it worked out." And I get bigger, and Jesus gets smaller. And we come to our text today, and Paul paints us a picture. And he's saying there's only one path. And that path is not so much focused on you, but focused on him. And we get a picture that God is big, and I am not. And the title of this message today is getting that picture. Amen? Amen? Come on now. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right. Father and Son combine to make changes. Read a couple of those verses I started off with, and then we'll move on into chapter 1 of Colossians. He says, he has rescued us. Can you say rescue? He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And he is moving us into something entirely different, because we all start in the realm of darkness. Now, maybe some of you are taking a little snooze right now, and you are looking at your eyelids. Well, the realm of darkness is more than the absence of light. Okay? Let me tell you, he writes to the church in Ephesus, chapter 6, verse 12, and he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but is against the rulers, against the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So this kind of gives you a feel of the realm of darkness. And if you would, just to kind of give you a feel for it, just kind of close your eyes. Now, don't go to sleep on me. Close your eyes, and I want you to think, you know, we got a lot of alleys here in City Heights. And some of them can be dark, flat out dark. And I want you to think about walking down an alley filled with rotting garbage. Could be your alley. I don't know. And you're walking through, you know, and you smell that, and there's broken glass all over the place. And you hear rats sliming around. And there's spiders. And there's bugs. And you're walking through this alley in the dark, barefoot. Everyone went, whoa. And you'd be walking through the alley going, I need a rescue. God comes and gives us a rescue out of the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Word used here describes moving someone from one place to another. And he describes the kingdom of the Son. And the kingdom of the Son is not so much of a place yet. It is more of a reign, okay? He talks about this to the Pharisees. Luke chapter 17, the Lord speaking, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is within you. And as we come together this morning, the kingdom of God is manifest in our midst. And we enter into that kingdom as Jesus begins to reign in our lives and in our hearts. Jesus begins to reign in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us and empowers us to push back the darkness in our lives. Have you experienced that? Life gets better, amen? You quit being so dark. Quit being so dumb. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, you're able to push back that darkness, be rescued, and celebrate that. Amen? Get that picture. You know, it was Friday night. Leanne was driving down, and I was getting ready to listen to the Padres game. Actually, they're going to World Series now. They won like two in a row. But I digress. But I'm listening, right? And it's a sports station. You know, and they're talking, pitch it, and hitting all that kind of stuff. And the guy comes on and says, the president's going to talk on the radio tonight. Well, I'll tell you what. I've been listening to a lot of sports on radio. I've never even heard of a sports jockey guy being aware of the president. And so I go, whoa. And so I turn over to the... Sorry, I jumped ship there. Yeah. Let me just jump back to verses 14 and 15 real quick. All right, I'm kind of rewinding this a little bit, okay? One thing, all these verses are like one sentence, like two, three paragraphs in the Bibles you're reading in English is one big old long sentence in Greek. And it says, so, into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption. So we had rescue, and now we got redemption, right? We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the exact image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And it is Jesus that makes our move possible. Jesus makes our move possible. Word there. Get ready to be impressed. Young people, old people. Apolutrosis. I know some of you are going, thank you, Pastor. Oh, I feel so blessed now. Apolutrosis means redemption, means deliverance. And it speaks of release being affected by a ransom. It was a word that was used for slaves and for prisoners of war who were redeemed or paid for who were released by a payment, all right? The price that we get for being redeemed or rescued from the kingdom of darkness was the life of Jesus Christ, sacrificed on the cross. That's why Paul tells us that Jesus came as the exact representation of God, the image of God. The Bible paints a picture of God as a triune being, three in one, eternally coexistent, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Eternally means they exist outside of time, three in one. He exists outside of time in three persons, and that the Son came to reveal that to us in its fullness in the person of Jesus. Okay? Infinite God, three in one, manifest the exact representation, came to walk among us so that we can know that. Okay? This is to contrast the view that Christ is one of many ways. Christ is unique in what he does, in who he is, in what he can do. And so as he comes near, we are able to understand better who God is. And then he says that he is the firstborn over all creation. Now, we're going to see that word firstborn again in chapter 18. And here he is talking about supremacy. And that he is able to push back that kingdom of darkness and afford a rescue to us. Now, on Friday night, I was getting ready to listen to the Padres game, and the announcer came and said the president's going to talk, and he was going to talk about the U.S. airstrike in Syria. Anybody see that? It was surreal to me. I was like, because he said, I have authorized the launch against Syria, and it's like he's talking, and I got the feeling that these things are in the air. Did you guys get that? I mean, it's like, as he's talking to us, it's going on. And he he described Assad, who was the leader, the king or president, whatever he is in Syria, as an evil monster. And that as he is using chemical weapons and nerve agents in the past, as a chemical chlorine bombing, it looks like that they did last week, that that needs to be stopped. And the worldwide community is going to take action against that. And we've seen in the past many years, during this civil war, that hundreds of thousands and even millions of people have fled Syria looking for a rescue. And so Jesus died on a cross to rescue us from the kingdom of darkness. And if we can get that picture, God gives us that picture. God sends Jesus as a manifestation, exact representation of himself, so that we can get that picture and step in. Amen? All righty. Praise the Lord. Everything finds purpose in Jesus. Reading verses 16 and 17. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Get all that kind of angelic kind of stuff going on there. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So Jesus is the creator of everything. And Paul is really filling in our picture here. And we see the role of God the Son and what he does and how he works. And we see that indeed that Jesus is the creator of the cosmos. Heaven, earth, universe, the whole enchilada. That as he creates these things, and there is this kind of a belief that there's Jesus, and then there's these other powers and authorities, and that all kinds of stuff is going to work. But Paul is saying, no, Jesus is the creator, and as such, all these powers and authorities and all that kind of stuff are created by Jesus, intended to bring glory to Jesus, but they rebel against that. That the kingdom of darkness rejects that purpose in their lives. And all things are created by him and for him, and we're supposed to grab direction and to bring him glory. And I'm wondering this morning how you feel about that. How much focus you are putting on glorifying God in your life. Because sometimes we want to have a little glory for us. I need a little of my stuff. Pastor Scott was talking about that when we get ready. It's like, oh, God, I think I'll keep a little bit back for me. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. See, and that's the lie of the enemy. You don't got to be so worried about him. You can be worried about you. Now, everything was twisted by sin. And he says right here that Jesus holds it all together. Okay? See that up there? He says, before things and in him, all things hold together. I got this picture. This is a picture of Atlas. Okay? And he holds the world up. I use this just to try to give you a feel for how Jesus, and Jesus doesn't hold the world together, or the earth, he calls the universe together, okay? And it's busted. It's rotting. It's like that alley, right? It is the king. He holds the kingdom of darkness together, and as he holds that kingdom together, God is moving people out of the darkness into the kingdom of his Son. Get what he's doing there? He's like, and he holds back on judgment rather than just pulverize the whole thing. Jesus holds it together, and he holds back on judgment so we have time to move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. Is that cool? See, you get that picture. And you say, I want to make the move. I want to be transformed. I want to be made new. Amen? All right. Verse 18. And this is thick, man. It says, and he is the head of the body. So Paul's making another shift here, and it's one sentence, all right? And he's the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. This is that firstborn word again I mentioned a minute ago. So that in everything he might have supremacy. Now we're going to start talking about the church and that Jesus moves through the church, that he is the head of the church. Now, I'm going to give you some more Greek, and you guys just go home feeling fat and happy. Word for Greek for church in Greek is ekklesia. Ek means out. Lesia means called ones. And so the church is comprised of all those who are called, or all those who are rescued, or all those who are redeemed out of darkness. Not anyone? Not one amen? Oh, thank you very much. Doesn't mean as much when I got to beg for it, though. Paul then tells us that the church functions as a body. And so our picture of the church is comprised of a living organism that is intimately connected to Christ as the head. Let me give you a little bit more on this. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. We will grow to become in every respect. We, that means you and me. Even if you're on your cell phone. Well, maybe not if you're on your cell phone. Maybe not if you're sleeping. We'll talk about that. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part, that's you, does its work. The church is Jesus' body and carries out his purpose and his work. We come together, you and I link arms, and we work to glorify him. That's the picture. That's what we do. And he says, it's a kind of a different aspect of this, that he is the firstborn from among the dead, in contrast to what he said before, he was the firstborn over all creation. Now, the firstborn has to do with supremacy, but now we're talking about the firstborn from among the dead, that he was resurrected, never to die again. We get a better description on this right here from the firstborn, and we go to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Okay? That he might be the first, again we see it, the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And so Paul says, I want you to get this. Because Christ is raised first. You get that picture and you can join him in the kingdom of the Son. You will be rescued, redeemed out of the kingdom of darkness. Is that any good? All right. Christmas time. I remember hearing about Google View. And you guys know about Google View? Just Pastor Scott. Got all these high school. Oh, Dana. Ray. All right. Techno. Right here. You guys want to know about this? Talk to them. What it was, it's this cardboard box. You know? And you put your phone in it. And it's like them, I don't know, what are those techno vision things where little kids, you know, have little... View, probably get one of those from Aaron over there. At his. Well, I don't know. Those things can't cost that much, man. So those Viewmasters might be sitting for a little while. But anyway, you know, you get this cardboard box and you put your phone in it, and then whoa! And you got this like 3D vision. It's like, wow, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Okay, you heard that stuff? Well, I heard, okay, I know, okay, I'm pulling you guys into the modern age, but they're using this technology to transform going to the movies. Okay? So they got these fancy boxes, kind of like 3D glasses, but they're all connected. And you sit in the theater, and you put this thing on, and it's like you're in the movie. I mean, you look around, and you're in the scene. And they say it's going to transform going to the movies. But that's all fine and dandy. It's leading, cutting-edge technology. But what they're trying to do is catch up to what the Lord's doing. Because the Lord says that we are surrounded by a spiritual realm. And he's saying, I'm trying to give you a picture of this so that you can step in and move from darkness to light. Is that cool? Thank you. I was worked hard on that. Didn't even skip ahead. All right, we talk about this change. It's an eternal change. All right, we're going to go through the end of chapter 1. Well, we're going to read more into chapter 1. But if you got your Bibles, get your pen ready. I'm going to have you circle something. Talk about this eternal change, verses 19 to 22. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, Jesus. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. And it is the sacrifice of Jesus which gives you peace with God. And Paul is going beyond painting a picture for us and is now describing a path. And he uses this word for reconciliation. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But it means to bring back to a former state of harmony. Because our harmony with God was broken. It was broken by sin. It was broken by the sin of Adam. And when Adam sinned, all of creation was twisted. And darkness began to reign. And that's what Jesus is holding together. And as he holds that together, his death on the cross reconciles us. There's an opportunity for reconciliation that puts us back into harmony with God. And Paul tells us why we need to be reconciled. And he says you need to be reconciled because you live as an enemy to God. He says you are an enemy because your thoughts were evil. Can I get a witness? He says because your thoughts were evil, your actions were evil. And because your actions were evil, you became an enemy to God. Jesus' death on the cross, his blood sacrificed for you, shifts you from an enemy into the family. That's reconciliation. That's redemption. That's rescue. Amen? And he wants us to get this picture so we can understand. For us to make this transition, Jesus had to die. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were his enemies, Christ died for us. And through his death, we are brought back into harmony with God. And when you get that picture, God says, I invite you to step in. I invite you to be part of that. And many of you have. If you have not, God if you get that picture, it gives you an opportunity today. You don't have to come in. You can say no. All right. If you got a pen, grab it. I'm reading verse 22 again because I gotta catch some speed up to 23. There's a word here I'm going to want you to circle or highlight on your computer. You know what? The problem with highlighting on your computer is you can lose your phone. So if you got a Bible, be ready. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If. Circle that word if. That is a big if. Colossians 1:23. Big if. If you continue in your faith established and firm and do not move. See, what do you get? If you stand firm, you get to be presented holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If. But if you don't, that goes away. If you continue in your faith established and firm and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that is proclaimed to every living creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. He says, when you get that picture, you stay there. When you grab on, don't let go. He says, if you do not continue on in your faith, you can lose that harmony and you can lose your position in the kingdom. Don't get tripped up. The darkness will try to get you back. Going to give you something else. Hey, want to try this? I don't know what this is in your life, but the devil will come and say, hey, you want some? You can get by with this. All you got to do is let go of the gospel. Just let go of the gospel. Here you go. You can be a winner. Paul says, don't let go, you're going to lose. Don't get tripped up. Don't let go of that gospel. He says, in this gospel is an inheritance that will never spoil, fade, or perish. Kept in heaven for you. That Jesus is going to come back. He's going to blow a trump. The trumpet's going to blow, and he's going to show. And we get to go. If you are holding on, you get to go. He says, you grab onto that gospel, give you a firm foundation for your life. You know, that's why we're doing this. Get some. Grab on. Get some roots. We're here to help you. You get that picture, God invites you in. We are here to help you. Nobody should be, you should be better than you were last week unless you told them no last week. You told them no last week and you get another opportunity today, you better not tell them no. There's no promise you got another one coming next week. You get that picture. You get the opportunity to grab on. He says, don't let go. At least you want to come up. So the question for you today, are you getting the picture? Picture comes. Opportunity comes that you might be transformed in your life. Take one more glance at this. Yeah. There's a rescue from darkness, a reconciliation from God. Jesus says, I died. I died that you can have it. He says, not only did I die that you can step into the picture, I put you around all these wonderful people you're sitting by. You can look at that person and say, you sure look wonderful. You can also say, you going to heaven? You grabbing onto the gospel? You get this picture? Because I hope that your answer is not no. We are here to help you. Our purpose in this church is to glorify God. That's it. Our purpose is to shine you up. I don't mean that you coming in here all ugly and dirty and slimy. But that might be true. I came in pretty ugly, dirty, and slimy. And I had to get buffed up. And you know, I still need a little shine. I get shined up every week. I got some old ugly that starts shining out. Buff that up. Because our job is to buff you up so that you can glorify Him. And that becomes your primary purpose in life. Now, maybe you don't got time for that today. Nah. I'm about me. I got my win. I got my stuff. Jesus died for you. You can say no. If you say yes, He says, don't let go. The devil's going to throw you a little chip. Don't let go. You're here this morning, and you're going, oh, I get that. I know what you're talking about. I have a Savior. I'm an enemy. And I want to join the family. I want to start living my life differently. I want to glorify God. Is that you this morning? God speaking to your heart? If God is speaking to you, I'm not going to bow our heads. Because you're going to glorify Him? Oh, you got the whole kingdom of darkness arrayed against you. You're saying, yeah. I want to move out of darkness. I want to move into light. I want to glorify Him. I want to change my focus. I want to be transformed. I want to have His blood applied to my account. I want to be part of the kingdom. That's you this morning. God's speaking to your heart. I just want you to slide your hand up. See, that's me this morning. I want to move. I want to make the shift. I see an elbow up there. See, that's me. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. You're here this morning, God is speaking to your heart. See, there's a lot of people who say no. I hope you have all said yes. But if you said no,